Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Here it comes. Yeah. Check. I grew up on the crime side, New York Times side.
Ooh.
Hold on. Hey.
What am I holding on for?
Just the intro. You gotta have a nice intro. Yeah.
Are you gonna do something?
Oh, you want me to do something?
Yeah, I thought I was free for
I thought I was having hype for it. Here we go. Making money on my day. Hardy on the right, coughing to my left. Don't know what to flow about. Gotta go about. Get on another show and go out. Now I'm dropping lines from my.
Keep going.
I was going.
Keep
going.
Keep blowing.
It was like 8 Mile. I mean, yeah. It was that good.
Yeah, it was that good.
Watch out, Marshall Mathers.
Yes, watch out. I was in the cypher for a minute. It was a good beat, though. It's good.
I'm not even going to tell my story now because it sucks.
Not even five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That is Jermaine Wiggins, who's been communicating through the Toucher and Rich Twitter page quite frequently, and he wanted to come on the show. Where is he?
Well, so every time, okay, so here's what happened. So the other day, every time we mention his name on the air, he's on the air right now on another show, and every time we mention his name, he tweets, he's like, hey, you know, Wiggs out. What you talking about? So he listens to us. He listens to our show, and I've been told he listens to the show during it.
But he calls the show.
So we had Troy Brown on a couple days ago, and Troy Brown started talking about Wiggy, and this got Wiggy all fired up. This is from 2 days ago. This is just a minute long clip. This is Troy Brown talking about Jermaine Wiggins.
Did you know he's from East Boston?
Have you heard that?
Yeah, East Boston, yeah.
Has he informed you of that a thousand times?
Yeah, he had some jackets and stuff made when he was playing, too, like East Boston's finest. stuff. He had the big, like, the big bombers and stuff, you know. Oh, had the East Boston's finest on it and Wiggy this and Wiggy that. So he's a classic, man. He's a good dude, man. Good heart.
Yeah, he's a nice
guy. Yeah.
Good heart, but his brain.
He's a piece of work, but he's in West Virginia talking that crazy talk, too, man. Like, oh, man, I'm Wiggy, man. I'm Wiggy, East Boston's finest. You know? I mean, I can do everything. I'm the Jerry Rice of tight ends.
No, you're not. You are absolutely not that.
You're like 250 pounds in your upper body and about 30 pounds in your lower body. Your legs are like sticks, man. You know,
just skip leg day.
Yeah, but he was a pretty good player though, man. I like Wiggy, man. One of the funniest things that happened to him too was like Bill found some old. He found some old clips because Wiggy's always talking junk about how great he was. He found some old clips of Wiggy when he was playing at East Boston, like playing basketball, playing football, and he was actually playing quarterback in one of the games, and it was like the funniest stuff because he would like take the snap from the quarterback. He wouldn't drop back, take the snap, and stand straight up and hold the ball like this. and then like throw it to some dude. Like he was like bigger than everybody on the team.
Bill found these clips?
He found these clips. I don't know how he did it, man, but he found these clips and he showed them in the team meeting.
What does Wiggins do? Like, how does Wiggins take that?
More publicity for Wiggy. He probably loved it.
No.
That's not the guy you want.
Yeah, he didn't want those on there, but, you know, he was dogging the kids, too, man. He was so much bigger than everybody. He showed some basketball clips of him playing basketball. Yo. And, yeah, his game was pretty bad.
Okay, so we're back live now. And so yesterday after the show, I get a text that says, what's popping? Is this Rich? And I texted him back and said, is this the most famous person ever come out of East Boston? He's second behind Tony C or maybe Ratman. He said, I heard you and my man Lock Dog, I guess that's Troy Brown, Lock Dog, were talking it up about on the radio station about me. How about you just have me on and then you get to the real Wigs out? And to that, I'm like, well, I mean, I thought he was working right now. And I said,
apparently he is.
I said, okay, want to come on tomorrow? And he said, what time? I'm free from 7 to 7.15, 8 to 8.15, and 9 to 9.15. That's some job he's got
being
there.
Paid by somebody else.
And I said, all right, Wiggy, you're locked in at 8 o'clock. And he goes, that's what I do. So I just texted him. I said, where are you? And he goes, I'm coming. Just finishing my segment in 3 minutes. I have a feeling that Wiggy has no idea when he's supposed to be on the air and when he's not.
No.
I have a feeling that he just walks around the studio, and every once in a while they have to flag him down for something that they want him to do.
By the way, he texted you and said, I'm just finishing up my segment.
Yeah, right.
So during the segment, he's texting with you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like that he calls in the show like every day, and then the one time we want him on the show.
No, the one time he asked to be on the show.
Should be on the show. He doesn't call in. Oh, yeah. Here's Wiggins.
Okay, right, is this him?
Yes, I would have to imagine this is Wiggins.
All right,
but for me, I like chocolate and thick.
Okay, so.
All right. Jermaine from East Boston. Hello, sir.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Now, what's going on your show right now?
Well, we just wrapped up some good stuff. We were talking a little bit of Kim Kardashian, you know, the same old stuff. We like to do on Hot 96.9 is we chop it up, what's going on in pop culture. What's going on over there?
How do you have enough time to listen to our show while working on a show?
It's called podcast, and I listen to a lot of shows when I get out of work.
No. You text us during the show.
Oh, you know why? Because let me tell you something. I got a lot of people on the streets that keep their ear to the streets, making sure when they hear my name, they get back to me. And it seems like you guys like to bring up my name a little bit.
Yep. You really have to have people with their ears to the streets to have them to listen to the radio.
Yes, I do. I have plenty of people that listen to the radio, and they keep their ear, and they say, hey, listen, your boys over there, Toucher and Rich, they're talking a little trash. You might wanna be aware of that. Here's what they said. So that's how I'm able to know what's going on in the community.
Oh, okay.
Fred, you gotta be in. Listen, you gotta get outside of that bubble in Newton, Fred. You gotta get in the community.
What, to listen to the radio? I can listen to the radio anywhere. I can be in Brazil and listen to it.
It's more than that, Fred. It's more than that. Get outside the bubble, man. Get out of Newton.
Where do you live?
I live all over. I'm a man of many places.
You're
a
caveman. Where do you live, seriously? You have money.
I have money. I don't have money like you guys do. I live on the North Shore.
You play professional football.
What does that mean?
They pay you money.
Lots of money.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't get paid like Brady. I played professional football a long time ago. I have 3 kids and a wife. One's in college, so hey.
You have a kid in college?
Huh?
You have a kid in college?
Yes, I have a daughter. She's a sophomore.
Oh, very good. Nice. Look at you.
Listen, I don't make as much money as you guys. No, of course not. Like you made,
you wouldn't be on the air right now.
So listen, here's why I'm calling.
Okay, why are you calling?
Like I said, my boys keep their ears to the streets.
You keep your ears to our show. Stop trying to spin it. I've talked to people who work with you that said you had to be spoken to because you were listening to our show during your show.
That's a complete lie. Fake news. Stop. Bitch, don't believe what you hear, okay?
Keep your ears to the streets.
No one has spoken to me about anything.
Why are you not in the studio with them right now?
Because we have a break, and like I said, you guys were talking about me with Troy Brown. I want to know what it is. See, this is the deal. This is what I'm saying. Right now, you're at a nice distance away, but guess what? In a few months, you'll be in walking distance, so I'll just be able to walk down to the studio.
And you'll be doing a lot of walking in the hallways during the show that you're supposed to be on, hitting the vending machine.
Not paying attention to things you should be paying attention to.
Why do I have a feeling you're going to be on our show more than you're on their show once you come over there?
I'm on it. Listen, I love to talk on the radio. So regardless where it is, I will, like I said, we'll be in walking distance.
So that's a yes. You will be on our
show
more than
your
show.
I might pop in every now and then. Like I said, you're going to be in our building, so I got to collect the rent now, and I might pop in. You know, somebody's got to clip the Birdman's wings, right?
Okay.
I don't mind that part. You want to come in and rile up the wall.
How much of a pain in the ass is it to get to Dorchester for you every day?
It's not a pain in the ass because it takes me 30 minutes. I'm up before the traffic's out there.
All right.
So it doesn't take long, Fred. You'll see me around. And like
I don't mind. I just don't want to work.
What are you going to do? Punch us? Is that what's happening?
No, he's not going to punch us. He's going to come in. He's going to defend himself.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to punch you. Are you crazy? So you can run to HR and then you can sue me? No. Forget about it.
But you don't have any money. What would be the point of suing you?
I don't have. I got a couple of people that I know. If you guys get too slick, it'll just be a hot commute for you. Wait, like that.
If I got Feldman, your producer on the show right now, and asked him, and he gave me the rundown of what you've talked about this morning, would you get the questions wrong? If I asked you what you talked about at 6:05, would you even know?
No, we just talked about. I'll tell you what we just talked about.
You just threw out Kardashians because that's just the go-to topic.
Yeah, listen, what we just talked about is should somebody get with the whole Blake Griffin thing and his ex-girlfriend wants money because she was with him for a long time, should somebody get money from a person that they would with for a significant amount of time and that person walked away on them and they're not married? And I said, no, they don't deserve any money. Just because you're in a relationship, that's why you get married. So if it doesn't work out, boom, you can get money from alimony. So that's what we talked about. If you want to know what we talk, how about you guys turn on the station and listen to us?
We got to talk on the radio. But listen,
you guys don't talk on the radio. I hear you. You don't do no talk.
Yeah, you do hear us during your show.
Yeah, on the podcast, I hear you. You're not talking about nothing.
No, that's true. I mean, there's not a lot to talk.
What does he know? What does he talk? I know.
I don't. But, is it true that Troy Brown told us that you made jackets that said, like, East Boston's finest?
Yeah. You want one? I can get you one.
No.
You made one that says Dr. Detroit on it.
Well, I have all the promotional shirts from the Dan Aykroyd film.
You actually made your own jacket that said East Boston on it?
Listen, have you not seen my T-shirts? You can actually go to Wiggy's World Podcast and get wiggysworldpodcast.com.
Oh.
You can go get my T-shirts. They hate us. Well,
we have a bid for tomorrow.
Yeah, so I got T-shirts, jackets, whatever you need. It's called getting out there, being in the community.
Have you sold one?
Yes, I have. Okay. I sold more than one.
Two?
I only like them apples, Fred.
There's no way you've sold more than a dozen.
Would you like me to show you?
Like on a receipt?
On a receipt. It's called bringing receipts.
I would like to see that.
Okay,
honestly.
So when you guys get here, when you get into Dorchester, when you come into Dorchester.
Hopefully in 3 years.
At 3 years. Listen, how about this? As soon as you get here, I'll show you the receipts, okay?
Okay. All right. Well, that would be enough time for you to buy some of your own stuff.
I got stuff. And I'll even bring you some stuff. I'm going to bring something special for you, Fred. I'm going to get extra small. I'm going to bring it for you. And it'll be nice for you. You can wear it out New Inn, and people can look at you and say, wow, finally you have some style. You don't look like a homeless person.
I would love to know where you live. There's no way you live in a bad neighborhood.
Listen, my mother lives in East Boston.
You live on the North Shore. Where?
The North Shore. I'm not telling you.
So you just told everyone where I live.
What, they're going to stalk your town?
That's right. They're all going to go to the town, Wiggy, to try and find you.
Listen, I'm on the North Shore. You can find me anywhere. I might even be in Newton in your neck of the woods sometime.
Oh, sure.
You might see me at the Panera Bread down in Newton Center.
Okay, right. I live within walking distance of there.
Huh?
I live within walking distance of there.
So you might see me down there. See, I get around. It's called being in the community, Fred. You should try it. Get outside of Newton.
Nah, I don't need to do that.
You sure? Yeah, I'm tired. I got to know some great chicken parm places.
Yeah. Hey, listen, all I know is that to find a good chicken parm, you got to find a good chicken parm. That's what you learn.
You got to find a place that has a good chicken parm, Rich. Come on, you know better than that. And I'm putting together a new 98 mile. But I'm not going to let you know when it's coming out.
Well, how about in the meantime, you just drop one of those awesome freestyles you're known for?
No. You got to pay me for the freestyle. I'm like Kanye West now.
Come on, Wiggy. We got the beat ready to go. Let's hear it. Let's go.
You got to pay me. You got to pay me $25.
All right, I'll give you $25.
I got to go.
I will give you $25. Let's hear it.
He has to go to work. Come on now.
Tell him, Birdman. I'm going to clip your wings.
Okay. All right. I look forward to seeing you.
All right, thanks, Wiggy.
All right, hey, and guess what? You know what? The Celtics should not retire. Kevin God, that's not
right.
They're wrong.
I agree.
All right, Dr. Detroit.
All right.
Yeah, man.
All right, there you go. I just like that. There's no way he sold any of those shirts.
Which ones?
I just love that he won't say where he lives.
The best part is the jealous of us thing. He wouldn't have cared about it if Rich hadn't brought it up.
I clicked in the shop. It says coming soon.
Yeah, he has this sold it.
So I
think there's a lot of like half finished stuff that he's got.
Oh,
like
wow.
Stuff that seems like a good idea at the time.
We're gonna have to listen to this. I mean, if he's got
audio, a podcast, we're doing it tomorrow.
I mean, it's the Dude and Bird. This is way better than the Dude and Bird.
Well, that's a little bit of a crazy statement.
There's one where he talks about Vegas.
Oh boy,
this should be good.
Yeah, tomorrow that's something we're doing.
Just, but by the way, I have spoken with people over there, so they have had that conversation. Just you stop listening to other shows. While you're working.
Jesus.
Hang on. Line 9, Fred.
No one's on hold. He's not on hold.
All right, put him on hold.
Put a button. There you go. Okay. Now
was Bird just talking to him?
All right. There you go.
You know, I would have put him on with Wiggins if Bird wasn't talking to him.
All right. Pop him on.
I know. I just want to know why he wasn't on hold.
he wasn't
on hold.
I went to Wiggy's World.
Looked like it wasn't on hold, but he wasn't on the phone either, so.
Oh, okay. Zoe, what's up?
It's a train wreck. Bird can't screen calls.
Like, what was going on while you were, like, what was going on? You weren't on hold.
I don't know what he was doing. He, like, put the phone down, and I hear him talking.
Hold is just to, like, put it next to the desk.
He forgot to hit the button. He just put the phone.
No, he just held the phone in his hand. You're on hold.
I'm holding it.
I'm hold. You're on hold. What's that?
Wallach, who sings candy-colored rainbows?
I have no idea.
Well, that's what they were playing while he's on air with you guys on his station.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That's classic hip-hop. He's from East Boston. He lives on Route 2.
Because I knew when he was busting on me for living in Newton, there's no way he lives in a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, and
no.
you can't use that as the one flag you wave and then not live like and live in a nice area. Yo, I'm from the streets.
He got like 3 acres out in Littleton. He's out on Route 2.
Okay. Yes, he played professional football. He's been employed. There's no way he lives in a bad neighborhood.
He went to Georgia. He didn't even go to class. I'll see you guys in a bit.
All right, see you, man. Talk to you then. He's going to be on our show more than he's on their show once we move over there. I'm convinced of that.
I just want to know what's doing with this podcast. I need that tomorrow like I need it yesterday.
Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Taking it back old school. About to kill all these whack-ass rappers on 98 Mile. They ain't from Boston. I'm going to show you how we do it. This is old school. Nobody's safe. Nobody. That's how I'm going to get them. Let's go. First up is Toucher and Rich. One real sensitive, the other's a bitch. Fred, you're from Detroit, ain't a true Jets fan, but up in the beam, Belichick's the man. See, Boston, here's a place where we keep mad trophies in a case. So come here, and let me introduce my fist to your face. Your bitch Rich, she understand, give her a pass, cause she's Celtics fan. But I'ma go hard on Gresham. So, got a little time before I go. My man Zoe, I caught a couple passes from a while ago, way before the tank catches in the snow. And Gresh, you're obnoxious as they get, fat as hell and always talk. Your football knowledge is lame. Let me give you a course and teach you the game. Yeah, that's how we do it right there.
And right there is why there's about 5 MCs that's ever come out of Boston.
That is the only 98 Mile that I know every single word to. Every single one.
All right, 617-779-0985. Burn, go ahead.
Burn, but, you know, it is Bird. Hey, I live up here on the North Shore, and I see where he lives in a town of Boxford. Don't let him fool you. It's a rich town up here.
Yeah, there's no way that he lives in. It's not like he lives in a bad neighborhood. There's no way.
No, it's freaking. I don't even lock. I can leave the keys in my car overnight and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, Boxford's like an idyllic little place, isn't it? It's
it's right next to Hook.
Where?
Marshall Hook.
The Hook lives up there.
Field.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right. There's no...
It's a town right next to him. I mean, it's 25 minutes north of Boston. It's idyllic. It's countryside.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that there's no way he lives in a bad neighborhood. All right. This could go any which way but lose because Bird answered the phone. Mark, you want to yell at me?
Dog, yeah. Fred, what up?
Hey, what's up?
Listen, I rolled my drunk over into the morning.
We've all been there.
I actually forgot what I was going to yell at you about. Stop pretending like you aren't hungover on Monday morning. You sound like you got a cold every day.
Monday. Was Monday the day you came in and your voice was gone?
No, I wasn't hungover, honestly.
I don't believe you for 2 seconds.
My voice is still hoarse.
Not even close to Monday.
Yeah, because that's what happens with a sickness. Is that?
Oh my God! I just found my bowl. It rolled off my bed.
Okay. Okay. No, I've been hungover on the show. Believe me, Jesus, 11 and a half years.
Were you hungover yesterday? Because you said you got drunk and you bought those football cards.
No.
You didn't seem like, I know when you're hungover, you didn't seem that way, but
no,
you did also say that you were drunk enough to make a horrible purchase involving football cards.
It didn't take much to push me over there.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I also sent an email to Josh Fowler that you had to correct. So, I mean...
I didn't correct it to Josh, so no, he's the right picture.
I apologize to Josh.
Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah, but no. No, I mean, it wasn't like I was annihilated and woke up and realized that I had bought those cards. I remembered buying the cards. It just was... I just realized how stupid it was the next day. No, I was not hungover on Monday.
If Fred's talking a lot, he's not hungover. Would we agree to that? Like, if Fred's only been hungover a couple times, and that's because I've been with him, usually the night before. It's like when we've been out or something like that.
Yeah, like, I mean...
You're quiet.
Like, I haven't... Like, it depends... Like, I haven't been, like, sick hungover...
No.
...since BCN.
No, no, that's what I'm talking about.
I threw up all over the bathroom.
Well, that was amazing.
Yeah, that's when Winger... Every time we hear Winger now... I feel like I'm going to vomit.
We had the alarm because you would have that face. You're like, here we go. Fred's about to run out of the studio. Yeah,
I haven't
It's been years, man. It's been years.
No, I haven't been like physically hungover.
I've stayed out really late and,
so have I.
And been drinking, but not hungover. And to me, I like those shows the next morning.
Yeah, it's
at 10 o'clock. I might as well just hit my face on the floor because I turn off.
Well, I have. Like, because you get adrenaline when you do the show.
Yeah.
And I've gotten, like, the minute I've gotten off the air, the adrenaline goes away, and I just get into a state of panic. Like, just, like, all the anxiety that comes from drinking the night before comes flooding into me.
Like, what did I do?
No. I don't get blacked out like that anymore. No, just, you know, when you drink, it does crap to your brain, and, the next day, it can cause anxiety. And so I'll get off the air, and all of a sudden it's like, hello, how do you do? Thought I was going to sit around for all day? No. I gave you these 4 hours. Now let's go for a run. Things are going to start getting real bad real quick, Freddie. Hey, it's your brain. Oh, have fun last night. We're about to ruin it for you. Oh, you want to take a nap? Nope. Going to have these thoughts running through your head all day, baby. No, I haven't gotten blacked out. Not certainly not on a weekday. No. Too much garbage I have to do. I have to do something every night with the children.
Sure. That's the other thing is you're busy at night.
Yeah, I coach all these sports and everything. I don't have time to I wish I could, but I don't generally have time. And I got to be in bed by 10:30 or life is no good. All right. We will come back.
By the way, Riley Nash coming up at 9 o'clock. We will 9:20. 9:20 will be on the show with us from your Boston Bruins.
9 o'clock. He's going to be with us.
9:20.
9:20. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was moved.
All right. We have though one final recap that we can play for you, and it was Bird last night out at the Celtics game, and we will have that for you. But first, here are the headlines.
Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We'll get to the recap a little bit later, but the NFL, obviously the ratings have gone down now for a couple years into deadspin. Actually had an article, Rich, kind of with a different take on why that might be happening.
It was interesting because whenever there is any kind of report that the NFL's ratings have gone down, there's several different reasons that people usually point to. One being, of course, the political side of it and the flag. I know that was quoted a whole bunch. And then,
yeah, which was ridiculous.
Well, there was that part of it. And then there was people saying that they can't, almost like, what's his name? Who's the commentator who's not doing the Olympics?
Costas.
Yeah, Costas. Costas' whole thing is that I can't in good conscience support this sport that we know these people are getting brain damage.
That hasn't stopped anyone. That's a cute thing to say, but it hasn't stopped anyone from watching.
Once again, these are things being pointed to.
That's what I'm saying, and I'm refuting them.
Yeah, and then the NFL will say, well, it's because, and this actually might be true. I believe some of what the NFL is saying here is that the reason the numbers are skewed is because you can get the NFL and know so many different places. Some of the streaming isn't quite registered by meters. Like, you can't pick up the ratings of things like that. You can get them on computers.
I'll give you a half point of ratings.
Sure, that could be the case. But this article said something that we've kind of been discussing on this show, and they said one Sunday this season, I forgot to watch the NFL. There are some errands to be done, probably, or maybe I was elbows deep in something, but it's not important. What's notable is not what else was on my plate, but that it was more important to me than watching a football game. At some point in the last few seasons, I felt my interest in the sport slowly drain away, with each football Sunday becoming less of a capital E event and more of a low-impact way to pass some time throughout the fall and winter. And once again, they're talking about how it's not because of the CTE or anything like that. They said, I believe it's because I have gotten somewhat bored. They said, but eventually I think there'll be more people like me who over time become slightly bored with the game and maybe the league and then just fade away slowly. It's one thing for the NFL to try to recapture the fans that have given up the game for specific reasons, but it's another to try to rekindle the passion of consumers that have gone apathetic. Mm-hmm. They said the Wall Street Journal wrote about the NFL's dilemma ahead of the Super Bowl with a poll that, quote, was depicting a developing nightmare for the National Football League, that its core audience is losing interest rapidly, a potential threat to the league's dominant role in American culture. And from the article, they said that adults who followed the NFL closely had dropped 9% since 2014. They also said that just 51% of men aged 18 to 49 say that they follow the NFL closely, down from 75% 4 years ago. Now, yeah, they didn't ask him why, but this piece goes on to say that it's not a certain, it's not brain damage, and it's not anything like that. It's no. that the football just hasn't been as interesting as
okay.
of late.
And okay, why do people not watch baseball, young people?
Because it's too long and it's slow.
Okay, what the NFL is that now? The NFL is too long and it's slow. It's boring. The NFL is boring. The college game is 1,000 times better than the NFL. And I've been over this a million times.
But it's still long. It's
long, no, it's and more boring, and it's laborious. It's just the replays are laborious. The conversation, there is so much time wasted. That the actual time of play on the field got to be about 10 minutes.
Which college playoff game, Rich, were we watching where the game was about 3 hours and 50 minutes, but we all watched every play?
Oh, it was the national championship.
Was it the national championship game or one of the semis?
Or it was the semi that had Baker Mayfield.
Fair, yeah. Fair
both
enough.
Of them were great.
But, I mean, either one, I mean, those college football games were long, and it seemed like it went by like that. And more to what Rich is reading here, and more to the Deadspin article, I've been an NFL Sunday Ticket watcher. I mean, I have DirecTV. I've had NFL Sunday Ticket for 12, 13 years, and I find myself not flipping to neutral games. Like, I used to go, when the Patriots are done, I have the NFL Sunday Ticket. I got four more games I can watch at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
I used to go pop back and forth between all of them.
I don't either.
I mean, friends of mine who have Red Zone now don't watch as much because, Red Zone, play fun. But the games are so laborious. There are so many replays. There's just boring things in front of you. Maybe it's quarterback play. I don't know it is.
A lot of it is under their control, and I don't understand. I can't for the life of me. They've got to pay tens of millions of dollars in experts to tell them how to improve the game and what to do. And they run counter to it. Every year it gets worse. Every year. Like, what is the thing? People have shorter attention spans. Kids don't want to, have to sit there and look at something that's boring. Basketball is gaining pace because there's more time with the ball in play.
They got rid of a lot of the timeouts.
They got rid of timeouts. The NFL is stupid, and I've been saying this for 10 years. Every year it gets worse, and it's amazing to me, this quest to become perfect. And this quest to be robot-like, and that everything has to be completely called perfectly, and everything has to be taken down by the frame, is so counter. What would you rather have? Every call be right or shave 20 minutes off a game?
I would rather shave 20 minutes off the game.
Right. And yeah. So they do everything that's just dumb. That stupid catch rule is dumb, and they did that. They basically what they did is they said, you know what? We have a product that is making far too much money. We need to sit here and really bog it down with a bunch of crap. Regular season game 1994. So there was a bad call. So there was a touchdown that shouldn't have stood. Okay. I mean, so you complain about it the next day. That's part of the fun, and then you're on your way.
I mean, it's also things like nobody can get on the same page on rules that pretty much almost every other game and you have to enforce, like the catch rule. Yeah. And that's something I know they're going to sit down and they're going to try to figure out, but it's still going to be a mess.
Because the technology has become so good. Well, let's use this new technology and let's break this down frame by frame. Let's have let's look at an Austin Seferian Jenkins touchdown where he bobbled the ball while crossing the goal line.
Right.
We have to overrule that because technology has let us see this little minute frame-by-frame picture.
And like in basketball, there's crappy fouls all the time. Or they don't call fouls all the time. But it's not some point of, like, obsession. I mean, in hockey, they screwed up with the dumb replay that you can have the puck in your zone or in the other team's zone for 5 minutes, score a goal, and then they say you were offsides. But again, there's bad calls in hockey every single game. There's bad calls in hockey or things that are not called. It's fine.
In your opinion, why was the Super Bowl down 10% this year?
Because people are sick of football and it's boring.
You see, but the Super Bowl is different. And I looked at that game, and because here's the one thing that game
probably
had.
The Patriots
were in it. That's the Mayweather factor.
The perfect villain. Right. You're rooting for them to lose.
Everyone wants to see Mayweather get knocked out. And the world hates the Patriots outside of New England. So you want to see Brady lose. So some people tuned in just for that. Now, you could say it's because the Eagles didn't have a superstar quarterback, but I don't think that's the case. Eagles are Philadelphia's a big market. On top of that, that team is exciting. All season long, they've been fun to watch.
Well, then if you said that, I would say, well, Atlanta has an apathetic fan base.
Right, I'm with you.
And
exactly.
It's not like Matt Ryan's this like giant star.
Yeah, I can't figure out why it dropped 10%.
I've read stuff that they think that the Patriots just that it's bad for football, which I mean, what are the Patriots going to do? Try to throw games?
It's not their fault. But you know what? Even Patriots fans, I think, have lost a little bit of that fire because, as I said, the stakes are lower. Everything's been established. But Tom Brady's going to be the greatest quarterback of all time, even if he doesn't win another Super Bowl. Bill Belichick is going to be the greatest coach of all time, even if he doesn't win another Super Bowl, or at least, you know, for the time being. That's not going to change. Whereas the last several Super Bowls, that meant everything. So
I'll give you an example of why people might be apathetic about New England, is that the most interesting thing to come out was that article in ESPN. The most talked about thing about the Patriots was the article in ESPN.
Well, because they're so buttoned up.
Right, that showed that there was like a kink in the armor.
Sure.
Double check five times I'm saying it correctly.
Right.
But there was a kink in the armor.
Yeah, that the people on the inside, when you look at Camelot, unfortunately, there's the guys are fighting on the inside, and this is supposed to be the model organization of how things work, and that was fascinating to people. And you know what? Once again, it's because people root for the Patriots to lose, so that was something they could latch on to.
Yeah, but I think more than anything, and I know the Super Bowl's, and by the way, even if it was down 10%, I mean, the Super Bowl's still, you know, by far the most highly rated
of
the football games, but I think that
it's highly rated, highest rated thing on TV.
No, I know, but, you know, 10% to the Super Bowl is, you know,
it's millions of dollars, though, to advertise.
I know. I understand. It's a big deal. I just don't think it's much a part of people's lives anymore as it used to be. Is that it just isn't.
Say you're a big corporation and you're the best at what you do. You have a gigantic lead over everybody else. You're making a lot of money. And then people get apathetic about your product. The people who are so far behind you seem to be gaining on you. If you're a good business person, you have a good business model, shouldn't there be someone in your ear saying, look, these people are gaining on you. You might want to change things a little bit before it's too late.
Yes,
now, it hasn't happened yet. The NFL still has a sizable lead.
Yeah, but I'm not comfortable with do you know what they did, John? Is that they couldn't, and I've been saying this for 10 years, and Mark Cuban said the same thing. They took something that was working like no sport has ever worked before. I mean, because even when baseball was its heyday, if you go watch the documentary Baseball, I mean, the parks were empty half the time. So they took something that's unprecedented in its popularity, and they screwed with it, and screwed with it, and screwed with it.
And they gave you more,
right.
More.
And then they make it slower and dumber and hard to understand. And you know, watching a game now is deciphering rules. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, that's another sport. Sport is, especially if you're on social media, it's when a call is made, and then it's the 5 minutes where everyone's like, it's a catch. No, it's not a catch. It's a touchdown. No, it's not a touchdown.
See, I think the NFL looks at that as interest.
I see.
That's not the right kind of
thing. No, it's not. But, I mean, I think that's what the NFL is looking at. My point is, if you see other people gaining on you, or other sports gaining on you, and taking bites out of your advertising dollar, now's the time to start changing things right now before it's too late.
Yep.
And I don't know if the NFL sees it that way.
You can't have a visceral reaction to a touchdown anymore. I mean, you got to sit there and wait. I mean, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
That you can't, you can't just sit there and go, okay.
Honestly,
hey.
The NFL looks at that kind of interest. The stuff you're talking about where people are tweeting about it. Or every NFL broadcast has their own rules interpreter. I mean, the NFL looks at it and go, well, there's interest in the rules now, so we also have to have an extra guy.
And
Mike Pereira. Let's bring Mike Pereira in to judge that. Of course.
What's arguably the most famous football play of all time? And you might not get it, so I'm going to just I'll say this. The Immaculate Reception.
Yep.
Can you imagine the Immaculate Reception right now?
Did that hit his shoulders pad? Let's go frame by frame to see if that hit his shoulder pad.
I mean, you might as well settle in for an hour.
Yeah.
So one of the great moments in NFL history, one of the moments that led to the exploding popularity of the sport.
I thought you were going to say when the fridge scored a touchdown.
They screwed Walt Payton.
But, they did. That's a good point.
But the
any fat guy touchdown is better than that.
No, they
fat guy gets a touchdown.
Walter Payton.
They owed Walter Payton. All right, we'll take your call. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
All right, NFL ratings are down. There is an article in Deadspin that it could be due to apathy, which I completely agree with.
Yeah, nothing to do with the anthem, the political side of it, nothing to do with the CTE, but just to do with, I don't really feel it anymore. I don't really feel like turning it on. I've kind of gotten bored with it.
Yeah, if it's a game that you don't have any skin in, I mean, it's boring. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, so you guys were going over the Super Bowl. Three biggest things in the Super Bowl, the actual game, which you get ads every single stoppage of play. I mean, every single punt. The only way it could get worse is if a team got to the 30-yard line and they said, okay, TV timeout. When we get back, let's see if they can punch it into the end zone. That's the only way the ads can get worse. I watched the Jaguars game building a metal model because the minute and a half between every single possession drives me absolutely berserk, and the anxiety overrides me. You think about the people that turn into the Super Bowl just to see the ads. The ads stink. Nobody's creative anymore. When they try to get creative and socially acceptable, they get pounded on Twitter. When you don't even have to watch the game to get the ads. They're on YouTube the week before. There's absolutely no reason to watch the games.
Well, I told you this, is that during one game this year, I was able, in stoppages, to watch 2 half-hour sitcom.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, the actual amount of play during a game is obviously ridiculously small.
Like, it was on Hulu.
Yeah.
And so I could pause it and turn back to the game. And then as soon as they went to replay, I knew that I had 10 minutes
just
to sit there.
Just during the commercial break, I just wrote down three things that came to my mind of how I would improve things to make the NFL more exciting. Number one would be, and I've said this for a while, if you don't have conclusive evidence within 30 seconds of looking at a play on a tablet, play stands. You can't overturn it. 30 seconds is what you got. If you can't figure it out by then, and you can't have somebody up in the booth who's already been watching it while you're walking over the tablet to say, you need to overturn this, then the play stands, move on. The second thing, give Monday Night Football marquee games. Bring back Monday Night Football. Make it worth watching. I would have no problem if the two biggest games of the week were on Sunday night and on Monday night. Because that used to be an event. And now Monday night is the biggest throwaway game of the week. It's a requirement. Every team has to do it once, and they just throw a game out there, and it's never really one that you want to see. On top of that, get rid of Thursday night football, and give us more Saturday night football in December. When college football takes that break, I actually like Saturday night football throughout the month of December.
See, that's the worst night of the week to have programming on.
They do it anyway. There's already some Saturday night football.
I know, but
I'd have no problem with that.
No, if you put Saturday afternoon games after college football is over, that's one.
That too, just on Saturday. NFL football in December. First of all, how great is it as a fan if you get to go to a Saturday game? I mean, that's the best day of the week to go. If you have a ticket to a Saturday game, you can drink all day, have a good time. You don't have to wake up early the next morning for work. Just as a person like that, but someone who just watches sports, Saturday in December is excellent.
I'll tell you this. If you look at the programming that's on the networks on Saturday night, that's where they like just go, here's Blue Bloods or whatever the hell plays.
I think Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
Although I think those shows actually do pretty well.
They're probably great on a Saturday night. You just have a guy standing there picking his nose. He's going to at least do something on a Saturday night. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, so for me, it's definitely the commercials that are just killing football. I mean, for what I end up doing for game time, I'll DVR the game. I'll sit down an hour, like an hour after the game starts, And by the end of the game, I mean, I'm already caught up watching it live again, you know? And
it's
I mean, you know, you just hit that 30-second jump button. And, I mean, even during the drive between plays, you can hit that button and boom, you know, everybody's out of the huddle and ready to go again. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of people do. And then that loses the visceral excitement. I mean, the idea, me personally, that you can't root for a touchdown. You know, you get that moment and you jump up and you go like, oh my God, like that was amazing. And then they go, and then you hear Romo go.
And I know that you've said it's easy to do it if you wanted to. But I believe that legalized betting would help it. Because there's some people who just don't want to have to go to a guy. But if there was a way to legally do it, I think that would help. Because fantasy football definitely helped.
No, not, obviously not that much.
Well, it helped when it first came out. It was, matter of fact, it was probably the best ratings that the NFL has ever had when the fantasy football boom happened.
Listen, I think they should legalize gambling anyway.
I agree, and so does Adam Silver, which Adam Silver's the man. I mean, he's the one guy, the one commissioner who gets it.
Yeah.